that would help us, oh God, go beyond the questions, the thoughts that are contrary, and pursue after your will, your word, your purpose, your assignment, your destiny for our lives. Lord, oh God, that daily we will stand in affirmation of your word, your promises, which are yes and in you, amen. Help us, oh God, to walk in unity with your spirit at all times. We give you praise. Help us tonight, Holy Spirit, to pray according to the will, the perfect will of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That the name of the Lord will be glorified at all times. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you here tonight for our time of prayer. Our purpose in Him is to pray. The Word of God says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And the agenda or the declaration of the Lord concerning that particular issue is the fact that inbuilt in that statement is that there are times when we pray and we don't necessarily have the answers or the response that we're looking for. It is not readily available, not because God cannot answer, but it says, don't faint. In essence, don't give up. Stay praying. Or the way Paul will put it, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And James will say, pray without doubting. If you stand in faith, believing in a convinced state, ultimately you will see a manifestation of whatever it is that you believe in God for, no matter how delayed it is. So in Luke 8, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us the story of the widow that went after the wicked judge who didn't care about God, didn't care about man, didn't care about anything. And the Lord says, see what the wicked judge said. He said, this woman is going to wear me out if I don't do what she's desiring of me. She didn't quit. She didn't faint. She didn't generate an excuse. Many times we live in a world of excuse. We allow excuses to brainwash us to thinking something else or responding or acting in a particular way. But remember the statement of the Lord. Ask, seek, knock. And in the original, the word is ask and keep on asking. That is the thinking behind the statement. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And whatever it is that you're looking for will finally be there for you. I don't know why the Lord is leading me in this particular trend tonight, other than to say this, that God is saying to us, don't stop asking. Now, some may say, ask one time, and that's when you're in faith. But that's not how God looks at it. asking and not having received it, you not turning to find another solution, but sticking with what you know is the truth. That's what faith is. Or like the Lord will say, if you continue in my word. So praying about something once is not necessarily an act of faith only. The fact is that you are not having faith in your faith, you are having faith in God. So in Mark 11, it says, have God's kind of faith, or have faith in God. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say or are saying shall come to pass, you shall have what you are saying. So you have to be consistent in saying, consistent in believing, consistent in trusting, and not changing your view or your perspective on the issue and saying, well, I prayed already, it didn't happen, maybe I'm doing something wrong. No, you're not doing anything wrong as long as you are praying, looking unto the author and the finisher of your faith. Sure, you can say, well, Lord, I've been praying, I'm not hearing anything, faith is not being released in my heart about this situation right now. I need to hear from you, because we do know this, that the Lord Jesus Christ said that he cannot do anything except what he sees or hears the Father showing or doing. So sometimes it is not that the prayer has not been answered, it's that I've not perceived what it is that I need to do at a particular time. Now, do understand, faith again comes by hearing, and the capacity to hear by the word of God. So what do I need to do? I need to engage the word of God that God has already put inside of me. At the entrance of the word of God, there's enlightenment. I step into light that reveals what it is that I need to do or say. So it's not about giving up. I've prayed, and nothing is happening. It's about praying with my eyes and my ears attentive to see, to hear, so I can do what God wants me to do. It is in doing what God wants me to do that I am engaged and things begin to move. But whatever the situation, what I've heard or not heard, what I've seen or not seen, God says, pray without ceasing. Just stick with that. One thing, Lord, I'm crying out to you. Tonight, I don't know what things we need to cry about in your particular situation, but I'm going to give us an opportunity tonight to seek after God's heart. Whatever it is that you need to pray about, need to cry out to God about, maybe you've prayed it before. It doesn't matter. The very fact that you come into the same door is what matters. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about a man who had some unexpected visitors come to him. And he had nothing to serve them. And he went to his neighbor's house in an inconvenient time and kept on banging. And the word of God says, that neighbor got up because the guy on the other side of the door will not quit. And even though it was an importune time for him, he responded. There is something about just staying at it. Lord, Lord, do this for me. If this is not what you want for me, if I'm asking wrongly, like James would say, sometimes you ask wrong. You ask amiss. And because you ask amiss, you don't get what you're looking for. Because you're asking amiss. And sometimes the Lord God speaks to us in James and says, well, and other times you're asking for the wrong reason, for selfish, covetous reasons. That's why you didn't get it. So sometimes prayers that have not been answered are prayers that are not answered for a reason, because God has a greater purpose on his mind that he wants to bring to manifestation. And the question to every one of us then is this: where am I in relationship to the answered prayers that I want? What is transpiring? In James 4, it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? So this, where comes wars and fightings among you, it's not just war and fightings amongst us as a people, but wars and fightings on the inside. He says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Why? You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You're fighting and warring because you did not ask. So the first problem. You're busy trying to do it by your own strength, your own ability. And there's a battle going in and out on the inside of you because you've not asked. Well, it goes on and says, okay, that's not just the situation. You ask and receive not. So if that's not your problem, you've asked and you did not receive because you ask amiss. It's not the will of God that he may consume it upon your lust. So the issue is the issue of your preference, your lust, your desire that's misplaced. And then he goes on, and then he goes to the next part of that particular situation. And some of us may think, oh, this he jumped to a different topic. No. He says, ye adulterers, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Paul, James, you're just talking about prayer and asking and receiving and why we don't receive. Where does this adulterers and adulteresses come into play? Well, it comes into play when you shift. And I've asked, didn't work, now I shift to a worldly solution. Now you are no longer in connection with God, you're finding your own solution. And the rest of it is, worldly answers are in enmity with God. Why is that? Because you see, you can switch off from God and you get the answer that you're looking for. Hey, why didn't I do this all the while? I got it, finally got it. Now, that receipt Now, he's going to reformat your mind and your thinking so that you are no longer focused on God, you focus on other solutions. And that's why it's enmity to God. Answers can come from any source. But every answer is not a God answer. Amen? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, what does Romans chapter 8 tell us? Remember in chapter 7 in Romans, Paul talks about this battle, this fighting that's going on the inside. And if you see the language of Romans chapter 7, it is all I, right through I. And you come to chapter 8. And I is out. And the focus is now the Spirit of God. We might pray just for a few minutes today, but I just sense in my spirit that the Lord is challenging us to align our thinking to the directives and guidance of the Holy Spirit. So let us start from Romans chapter 8. Remember what I said in chapter 7? It's all I. Now we're going to trace in chapter 8 to the issue of being enemies of God. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What is that? You and I have three parts. We have the spirit, we have the soul, we have the body. Your body or flesh has a walled awareness. Your soul, which is the seat of your mind, your will, your intellect, has a self awareness. That's its focus. The spirit has a God awareness. Are you with me so far? So when you are following the spirit, you become more God aware, which means that you are more focused on how God sees things. When you operate from your soul, me, myself, and I, awareness, all you're about is about me, myself, and I. What do I get from this? How do I this? How do I that? But the flesh is focused on whatever it is that is happening all around you. Some other time I will go more in teaching on this so that you see how all three of them relate with each other. But there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, which is God-minded, who do not walk after the flesh, the dictates of the flesh, but walk after the dictates of the Spirit of God. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now we're going to get closer now. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, which is fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life, and it is peace. So there's no fighting on the inside. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. What's the carnal mind? The carnal mind is the mind that is focused and paying attention to the flesh and what the flesh thinks. And what the flesh thinks is like the reading of a thermometer in your life. The work of the Spirit is like a thermostat. You're regulating your environment. You're not moved by your feelings, by what you see. You're moved by what you know, by the Spirit of God. That makes sense? Now, when we get that in place, it changes how we pray effectively. Because I'm not praying because of the circumstances, but praying to overwhelm the circumstance. Amen? By the Spirit of God. I want to overwhelm my circumstance. So the Word of God says, when the enemy comes, God raises a standard, like a flood. God raises a standard. It's not when the enemy comes like a flood. It is when the enemy comes like a flood, God raises a standard to overwhelm it. Are we together? So we are not praying from a position of weakness. We're praying and declaring from a position of authority. The Red Sea, okay? It's overwhelmed by the fact that it's parted. We get that? That's a miracle. Not allowing the circumstance to speak to you, but you speak to it. You say to this mountain, whatever that mountain is, for us individually, for us as families, for us as a corporate body, what are we saying about the circumstance? Are we allowing the circumstance to overwhelm us, or are we overwhelming it with our praise? He says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject, watch that. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. If you are carnal minded, God's word cannot work in your life. It's not subject to it. Neither indeed can be. However, something flips. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What does that mean? It is impossible to please God without faith. So faith cannot come. So you are overwhelmed by your circumstance, and the word of God cannot penetrate your heart, so that you receive it by faith and use the faith of God like a sword to go after the enemy. You've made yourself incapable of. Why? You became an adulterer. You shifted from believing God. This is what God is going to do. This is what God has spoken. And his word shall not return back unto him void. To what else can I do? What other solution? You've gone into the flesh. But ye are not in the flesh. This is the word of God now. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. What Spirit? The Word of God. You're in the Word of God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're in the Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, heavy duty. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, if you don't have the Word of God, He's none of his. Huh. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that spirit shall quicken your mortal body. It will overwhelm your mortal body and quicken you so that you are overriding. Tonight, when we pray, our prayer is going to be this. Lord, give me that overriding spirit of your word, of the presence of your word, that no matter what the circumstance is, I am not overwhelmed, but rather I overwhelm it. That makes sense? Jesus rising from the dead overwhelmed death. Death came to him, but life overrode. We need that overriding grace, that no matter what the challenge is, I override. The water is there, the boat is over on the other side, and Jesus walked on the water. That's overriding grace. 5,000 people, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, overriding. You get it? So no matter what it is right now, whether it's a physical thing, an emotional thing, whatever it is, a financial thing, Father, I receive overriding grace to overwhelm my problem. Whatever that problem is. That is the seat of answered prayers. Amen? So you notice everything we've been talking about so far has to do with the Spirit. Verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or kill the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we first focus of our prayer is going to be this overwhelming grace. Second prayer we're going to pray tonight is going to be, Lord, help me to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's the second thing we're going to pray. Lord, help me to follow the leading of the Spirit of God, because that's what makes me the Son of God. And guess what? The Bible says the all creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What is it talking about? Waiting for the manifestation of those people who will faithfully and obediently follow the leading of God. I was having a discussion with somebody today that I was counseling. And they asked a very pertinent question. If it's about choices and we have the capacity, why do we keep on making the wrong choices? Simple. Our act of disobedience. Jesus overcame everything as a man. And the interesting thing about it, when we study it out, is that we have more as born-again believers than what Jesus had to defeat the devil. Wow. But we keep on blowing it. Why? Wrong choices. Why wrong choices? Because we're walking after the flesh and thinking of ourselves more in the flesh, the environment, rather than seeing ourselves from the perspective of our godness, being God-focused, our spirits in line with God. It affects my walk, your walk. It affects how we receive answers to prayers, because we are always looking at the problem rather than looking at the grace of God that overwhelms the problem. Praise the Lord. Did you get all of that? Okay. I know you know these things, but now when we pray, we pray from a position of strength. So this is what I want every one of us to do tonight. I'm going to engage you in the prayer points, as many as I can. But I want you to come to the Lord concerning your particular situation. Your particular situation, and ask the question, God, what do I need to know to resolve this situation? He knows the problem. How can I overwhelm this circumstance, this financial situation? How can I overwhelm it? What do I need to do to overwhelm it? Let me put it this way. How can I starve this fire of oxygen? Because there's no oxygen being fed into it, it will be dampened. But there is something that we need to know. Now you're hearing me making sounds. Do you know that the sound that you're hearing right now, if we place a certain amplitude that cancels out that sound at where the middle point is, no matter how loud I speak from here, on the other side of that line, you will not hear it. You're still in the same room. I'm blasting everything. You don't hear it on the other side because doubt cancels out faith. You get understand what I'm talking about? Okay. So does unbelief. You can't go in this direction and say the negative thing and continue to expect that you'll get the result of what you were believing for when you've canceled it with your own mouth. So whatever it is that we're going to pray for, third thing tonight is this. God, help me not to use my mouth and my confessions to cancel out the word of faith that you have put out and spoken out of my mouth. Those are the three things we're going to pray about tonight. Amen? Praise the Lord. Do you have it? First one, put it up, so that we get started. Lord, give me that overriding spirit of your word, that no matter the circumstance, I am not overwhelmed. I receive overriding grace to face whatever problem there is. Praise the Lord. Let's go for it. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Right now, just talk to the Lord. Receive that overriding grace. Father, whatever the circumstances are, big or small, matters not. We don't need to tell you what the issues are, what the problems are that we may be facing, physically, emotionally, financially, relationally. All of it is open before you, with whom we have to deal. What we do ask right now is not the removal of a problem, and that is great, but rather that no matter what the situation is, that overriding grace, be bestowed and activated in our lives that by the Spirit of your truth, we override the problem. We override the challenges. We override whatever it is that is in the way, so that its impact and its effect is eradicated, as if it never existed. Because overriding grace, overcoming grace, is activated now. The overriding grace of resurrection life. Thank you, Lord, that your kingdom has come and your will is done in the earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, oh God, that you are establishing your purpose in spite of whatever else is happening around. We receive that fervent grace. We declare it activated. The Lord, oh God, that no matter what we face, as individuals, as a congregation, as families, that we see the other side of this mountain and cut through, going over it, going through it, and moving it out, that no matter what circumstances, health circumstances, financial circumstances, relational circumstances, that the mighty God, you mighty in us, cause us to overwhelm it. In the name of Jesus, we starve this day every circumstance of whatever it is that is feeding it, so that it shrivels and dies. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare this day that any sickness that has been fed by anything that we have, so that it continues to live and exist, this day, by the authority of the Word of God, we starve it. We starve every disease, every challenge. You are starved this day by the overwhelming power of the living God. You have no oxygen to continue. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Second thing I said we're going to pray about tonight, I'd like you to put that up. Lord, help me to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. May we add to that, help me to be obedient. Amen? Following the leading of the Holy Spirit is being obedient to the directives of God. You cannot follow the leading of the Holy Spirit without being obedient to the directives of God. Word of God says, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, sometimes, rather than be obedient, we sacrifice a lot of things. We give everything. We do all kinds of things that are nice, but not obey the instruction. It ends up being the same thing, witchcraft. So I need to be obedient. The first act of sin was the act of disobedience. Remember that. I want to obey God. But how am I going to obey God? I obey God because I hear God. So the third aspect of this PowerPoint or prayer point is, grant me the ability to hear you. I need to hear you. Because how are you going to obey God if you didn't hear what the question or the instruction is? I want to hear God. Amen? Do we have that? Okay. Pray. Lift up your voice before the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for the grace to follow your leading, the grace to hear you clearly, the grace to see clearly, the grace to be discerning, the grace to make the right decisions, to follow through with your directives, to walk in obedience before you. So, Lord, oh God, that the ability that you have ordained for us to hear you by the word of truth be activated. Lord, oh God, we cry to you now. Help us to hear you. For in hearing you, faith is released. And where faith is, where the presence of love is, Father, there is transformation. We embrace the transformative work of grace, of your goodness now. Transformation, Lord, for us, O God, as individuals. Transformation for us as a congregation, as your church. Transformation for us as families. Transformation, O God, in our relationships. That, Lord, O God, that our pursuit, O God, be to honor you, to live our lives following your directives. For as many as are led by your Spirit, they are your sons. All creation is waiting for the manifestation of your sons. Lord, oh God, may we even now become the manifestation. Help us, oh God, to be the manifestation. In our walk of obedience, may we become the manifestation of the sons of God that have the grace to override, the grace to overwhelm circumstances, the grace, oh God, to see situations turned around, the grace, oh God, to speak into situations and see the manifestation of the will of God, the grace, oh God, to see as we speak the word of God, there will be the gushing of the water of life because we obey the instruction and do not walk after the flesh, the mandates of the flesh. Help us. We receive this grace that we're not led by the leadings and the thoughts of men, but by your Spirit, Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. The third thing that we're going to pray about tonight is this: God, help me not to use my mouth and my confessions to cancel out the word of faith that you have put out or spoken out of my mouth. The word of God says that when we open our mouths, that he will fill it. He says, don't be afraid of the accusations and the attacks. He says, and don't be concerned about what you're going to say and when you're going to say it. Just open your mouth and I'll fill it. In Psalm chapter 8, The word of God says in verse 1, Psalm 8, it says, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? And then it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Why? Because of thine enemies, that thou might steal the enemy and the avenger. In essence, that you might overwhelm the enemy, shut the enemy down. You've ordained strength. In the mouths of babes and sucklings. Because of thine enemies. What an interesting statement. What is this ordaining strength in the mouths of babes and sucklings because of your enemies? That thou might steal the enemy and the avenger. And what God is simply saying is this: I don't need the big shot. I will humble and humiliate the devil and his cohorts with the least. He says, the least of you is greater than even John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist come to do? Just to proclaim, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. And that's what God is saying to us. Hey, the kingdom, my kingdom is at hand. And but Jesus, our Lord, goes further and says, the kingdom of God is in you. That's what makes us greater than the bridge man, John the Baptist, because he was the bridge of the end of the Old Testament. But what has happened? We look at the Old Testament and we see the amazing miracles of the Old Testament, and we look at the New Testament and the New Testament church, and we don't have that same level. But God says that's what you should have. What is the difference? Total reliance on God and following what God said. Strike the rock. Water is going to come out. Hey, tell them they're going to have so much food. The price of things are going to drop so fast. How? What else is going to change? 4 lepers go into the camp of the enemy. And whatever the enemy has held there, all turned over. How? God knows the beginning from the end. When the enemy was coming, he tells the enemy, take all of your silver, all of your gold, every wealth that you've got, take it to war. Who goes to war with all of their wealth? The God who knows what to do will make my enemies subject. And tonight, our prayer focus is about that confession. God, Help me to be consistent with the confession of faith and not allow my circumstances to make me say anything that contradicts what God is saying and what has been spoken. James says, let the person who is double-minded not expect to receive anything from God. And unfortunately, we speak from both sides of our mouth. One moment we speak in faith, the next moment we're not speaking faith. We're contradicting whatever it is that we said. And then it does not work, and we're frustrated. And of course, we blame God. God, how come you didn't this? How come you didn't that? But what have you been saying? You've been, one moment God gives you faith to speak, and next moment you're contradicting whatever faith language you have, and you end up not getting the results that you need. It's not God's fault, it's the law. And I need help, and you need help. We, the body of Christ, need help, not to cancel out the language of faith that which we have set into motion, recognizing that God's word will not fall to the ground. God's word will accomplish what it is sent for and bring the result back. It forms that complete loop. Amen? So God, help me not to use my mouth, my confessions, to cancel out the word of faith that you have put or spoken out of my mouth. Lord, you're my healer. And walk in divine health in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I'm not feeling good. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to get out of this one. I think this thing is going to kill me. Guess what it's going to do? It's going to kill you. Why don't you just stick with one thing? The Lord is my healer. By his stripes I am healed. And the enemy tries to feed you with his lies, and you say, I reject that lie. I stand on the everlasting promise, the covenant of God, that says that I am healed. I will testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I shall live and not die. The enemy pokes, and you say, it is written. It is written. The enemy tries another punch, and you say, praise the Lord from whom all blessings flow. You're causing all things to work together for my good. It's not that you are not acknowledging that there is pain or a challenge. You are choosing to say what God's will is. And you are pursuing it from that extent. And just continuing. Not doubting what you believe, but continuing in faith. Praise the Lord. So this prayer focus is very clear. And then I'm going to have two or three people pray in closing tonight about all three things that we have focused on. Lift up your voice before the Lord and talk to him right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of God to walk in faith, to live in faith, to live by faith. Your word, God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And Lord, oh God, today we want to be steadfast in faith. We want to continue in faith. We want to do things as men and women who are led by your Spirit, not led by circumstances, not led by what we see in the natural, but Lord, oh God, in believing, we believe to the utmost that you, our sovereign Lord, who knows all things and sees all things, have taken care of every situation, for it is by your faith that we live. It is by your faith that we move. It is by your faith, O God, that we have our being. Father, help us to be fully aligned to your divine will and purpose. Thank you, Lord, that you are our mighty Father and fighter. All things are working together for our good. And we can testify, Lord, that that which we've been waiting for has come to pass, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, the unchanging changer, the God who will not and cannot lie. Father, as the Father said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Help me. So, Lord, O God, we cry out to you now. Take a hold of our tongues. Take a hold of our minds, our thought processing. The Lord, O God, that we become truly what you came to redeem, redeemed by your word, redeemed by your love. In Jesus' mighty name, we receive our miracle. Amen. Before I get three to pray, let us again, once again, thank God for our time together this Sunday, that the Lord will meet us here, that he will speak to us, that he will help us rise to our rightful place as he inhabits our praise, our worship, and adoration, and causes our words to be empowered, not to be stout against him from the position of complaining, but rather to be in agreement with his eternal word, so that everything around us begins to line up to the glory of God. Our prayer is, Lord, help us to have a glorious encounter with you this weekend. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then I'm going to ask three people to pray concerning the things that we have listed to pray about tonight, to just voice it out in the language of faith. I'll ask Brother Reuben, Pastor Paul, and Sister Lindsay to be the voice of prayer and confession for us tonight. But before they come, in whatever order, I have the mic over here. I'd like for us to just, first of all, just lift up our voices unto the Lord and begin to prophesy about what we're expecting this Sunday. God will manifest his will, manifest his power in us and through us, that this will be the gathering of the saints. God will bring people from the north, east, west, and south. God will awaken people where they are, and that they will begin to hunger to be in this house, to participate in worshiping our Lord and Savior, our God, in spirit and in truth. Pray. Lift up your voice before the Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that this weekend, this Sunday, is going to be an extraordinary one. Lord, oh God, that we'll experience you in a magnificent way, that your healing anointings will flow, the work of transformation will take place, that our steps and our words, our thoughts are ordered of you. And Lord, oh God, that this encounter this week, oh God, will be an encounter, oh God, that will bring us to that place where we declare boldly, firmly, without any doubt, Lord, oh God, that you are worthy to be praised, and that, Lord, oh God, that we will worship you in spirit and in truth. Inhabit our praise. Inhabit our worship and adoration. Help us, oh God, to magnify your name. As the psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. As the psalmist said, the Lord our God in the midst of us is mighty. Father, may we experience your mightiness in our midst. You said you build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail over your church. Father, we thank you that this church is the church that prevails over the enemy. Blessed be your holy name. Cut down every stronghold. Level every mountain. Let the valleys be filled. Let the pathway that you operate in be established, because surely your goodness and your mercy follow us all the days of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's have Pastor Paul, Sister Lindsay, and Brother Reuben just come. Just all three come at the same time and just pass the mic from one to the other.
Thank you, Father. We lift you up. We lift you up, Lord. Your name is above every name. Mm. We lift it up. Lord, as we worship you, receive our worship.
Hallelujah.
Receive it now.
Yes, Lord.
Let your word be within us.
Amen.
Let your word be in us.
Amen.
To do your will.
Jesus.
To walk in your ways.
Hallelujah.
And to know that you are God.
Thank you
are a mighty
Jesus.
God. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the truth. You are life.
Glory to God.
You are mighty God. Mighty indeed, mighty in war. Mighty in everything that you do. And you call us, Father God, to be mighty in you. To walk in your ways. Father God, we acknowledge that we are mighty because you are mighty in us.
God.
You abide in us. Your love is in us.
Mm.
And we can do exploits.
Amen.
Through you and you only.
God.
We give you the glory for all things.
Glory to God.
We give you the glory. We lift you up. We give you praise. We give you honor.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Father, we have a commission to help people to bring you, them to you, Father God. But we need your Holy Spirit to move into their heart.
Yes.
To bring him in, Father God. to touch their souls, to touch their minds, that they will know that you are God, that they will come and see what is happening, what the wonders of who you are is, that they will be curious right across Winnipeg, from the east, from the south, from the west, and from the north. We call them in now.
Hallelujah.
We call them in now.
In Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit, move in your mighty way. Move in the hearts of men everywhere, that they will come and rejoice in you, that they will get to know who you are, because you are so, your love goes forth and touches everyone. Let all men see who you are. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord. Let your Holy Spirit move in them. One man plants a seed, one waters it, but you give it the increase.
Yes, you do, Lord.
We ask you, Father God, to give increase.
Amen.
And give us the courage to go out and talk, to voice out who you are, to bring glory to you, to them, that they will see that you are mighty. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you cause your people to be led by your Spirit, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that we are the thermostats in this earth, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit, we know the words that you want said, Father God. We hear what you're saying, we see what you're doing, and we replicate it here in the earth, Lord. Mm. Thank you, Father, that we are led by your Spirit. We are walking in your Spirit. We are walking in the dimensions that Jesus walked in.
Amen.
And the new dimensions, Father, that you have for us to walk in, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that we are doing the things that Jesus did in the greater works, Father.
Amen.
We are overwhelming the issues in this earth. Amen. We are seeing ourselves as you see us, Lord. We ask for that revelation, Lord. Cause us to see who we are in your kingdom, Father God.
Amen.
And to not see ourselves as mere men, Father, Lord. We understand that we are kings and priests, Father God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that we stand on the word you've given us, Lord, and we do not budge. Thank you, God, that there is no plan B or C, Father. You are the only way, Father God. We
Amen.
Worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for bringing every word to pass.
Thank you,
In
Father.
Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Father, we want to thank you once again for the grace given unto us to keep asking, knocking, and seek. Because we know we can find from you. And when we ask, we receive from you. And when we knock, the door will be open.
Amen.
We thank you for all the privilege that we have received through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for every challenges that we are facing, the overwhelming grace
yes.
to overcome all these challenges we receive tonight
Amen.
In our physical life, spiritual, material life, our marital life, our ministerial life, even on our children. Father, overwhelming grace to overcome all the challenges in all areas, even concerning our health. We receive this tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask, O God, that you give us the grace. You help us not to cancel every confession of faith that you have made. Like you have helped Joshua and Caleb. They confess, despite the fact that the 10 people were confessing negative things, you help them to hold on to their confession that we are able to go and possess the land.
Hallelujah.
And through that word, you give the land unto Joshua and Caleb.
Yes.
We are asking, O God, all your promises concerning us, all the word of faith that you have pronounced unto us, the grace, O God, that we will not use our mouth to cancel this. You help us at this moment, O God.
Amen.
That what we have seen in our environment, we will not cancel your purpose, your plan, your good things that you have for us, O God. But we will continue to hold forth unto the word of God and moving forward until we receive even the promise, O God.
Amen.
We are asking, O God, that the service of this Sunday, that your spirit, O God, will take absolute control.
Hallelujah.
That your presence will inhabit even this tabernacle.
Yes, Father.
That the power of God will be made known.
Amen.
That the word will go forth with power.
Yes,
that everything will be aligned even to your glory.
Yes,
that everybody that will come here, we will receive a fresh touch of God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
That there shall be healing, deliverance, salvation also.
Amen.
That many souls, O God, you will touch them from far and near.
Amen.
You will bring them close unto you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for you have done for us all this, O God. Amen. And we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. God is good. Hallelujah. I thank God for every one of you that took time to come out tonight to pray. The weather is changing out there, but that didn't stop you. That's exciting. Well, we look forward to seeing you on Sunday, but before we go, let us honor God with our giving. One of the things God says for us to do is to honor him in that regard. He says, bring your tithe, bring your offerings, bring your vows, your first fruits. And specifically, he says, bring all the tithe. Not just bring the tithe, he says, bring all the tithe. He says, test me on this. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to open the windows of heaven over you and pour out a blessing. And secondly, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Thirdly, I'm going to so bless you that you're not going to have room enough to handle it. We want the manifestation of all of those things in our lives. So, once again, we know what to do. Just honor God and trust him. And remember something the Father said for us to do. He said, when you're releasing your offering, always say, Father, speak for me. Amen? Father, speak for me. And when God speaks over your offering, there is a multiplication. And God will fight for you. Amen. But we must hold steadfast in faith, believing that we might be able to say, it is well with my soul. Praise God. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Heaven Father, prosper our souls in all of the ways that you prosper the soul. We declare soul prosperity so that we can walk in the fullness of divine health and prosperity. Blessed be your holy name forever. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. God bless you richly. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And we'll see you on Sunday for a powerful time together.